This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, February 6, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Earning a college degree on your smartphone is a concept that's gotten so popular, a West Michigan university is expanding the digital programs it's offering. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
I have a baby at home. I have a wife. I work 50, 60 hours a week, and I still get my school done.
Michael Horst works at Gordon Food Service and is currently earning a bachelor's degree in strategic business management through Cornerstone University's SOAR program.
My job doesn't suffer. My family life doesn't suffer.
SOAR is designed to remove traditional barriers to higher learning by offering self-paced micro-learning through video, podcasts, audiobooks, and other interactive content structured for adult learners.
It's broken up into manageable bites that allows me to kind of fit one here maybe on my commute into work and then, you know, maybe on lunch break and then one more on the way home or something.
The platform is more affordable, roughly half the cost of the national average for private colleges. Most students pay little to no out-of-pocket expenses thanks to federal aid and employer tuition support.
I don't want to give off the impression that it's completely easy. It's obviously challenging. It's educationally rigorous. You're attending a college course. That being said, the flexibility, I think, adds something that a lot of courses lack.
Cornerstone degrees offered via the SOAR app include a master's in organizational leadership and a bachelor's and associate degree in strategic business management. I'm Dee Morrison.
West Michigan clock and furniture maker Howard Miller is winding down operations after nearly a century of home furnishings manufacturing. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us about its final auction.
Zealand-based Howard Miller is hosting its final online equipment auction on Tuesday, February 10th. In July, the iconic clock and cabinet manufacturer announced it would cease operations in 2026, due in part to, quote, tariffs that increase the cost of essential components unavailable domestically, making it unsustainable for us to continue operations, end quote. Howard Miller was founded in 1926 by Howard C. Miller, son of furniture legend Herman Miller, another Zealand-based furniture manufacturer. In a statement, Howard Miller wrote, quote, "We are deeply grateful to our talented team, our committed distributors, and our loyal customers who have supported us throughout the years," end quote. Employees are receiving a severance package and job placement support. Tuesday's auction will feature over 1,500 lots of state-of-the-art machinery from its Zealand facility. Howard Miller's final sales day is March 31st. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Grand Rapids Public Museum has announced the reopening of the 1928 Spillman Carousel. It reopens on Friday the 13th. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The Grand Rapids Public Museum has revealed that its historic Spillman Carousel and the Cook Carousel Pavilion will be reopening to the public Friday, February 13th. Dale Robertson, president and CEO of the Grand Rapids Public Museum, says in a news release, quote, "The Spillman Carousel is a living artifact." He adds, "It took a wonderful group of partners to make this restoration and renovation possible. Every detail reflects our shared commitment to preserving history while creating fun, memorable learning experiences for all of our guests," end quote. The museum next week will also unveil new accessibility enhancements, and this includes the introduction of a carousel chariot designed to allow individuals using wheelchairs and other mobility devices to enjoy the attraction. More information on the carousel, including its history along with ride times, can be found at grpm.org/carousel. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A boarded-up building with broken windows in downtown Muskegon will be headquarters for an international engineering firm. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports developers are planning a nearly $5 million renovation.
The building has sat vacant for quite a while.
But after a $4.9 million rehab by the end of the summer, developer John Witten says the building at 1185 3rd Street in downtown Muskegon will be offices and research space for a team of 85 international engineers.
85 engineers that work on projects worldwide, a bunch of new hungry people intending to shop and stay and participate in life here in Muskegon.
It's a great neighborhood. It's such a beautiful building.
And City Commissioner Katrina Cochin says she is pleased the developer plans to preserve some of the building's distinct features.
Your plans to honor the architecture of the building is important.
We're really excited to revitalize it and also honor the history of the building and its beauty.
Commissioner Jay Kilgo supports the decision to freeze property taxes on the building at the pre-development assessment, about a $650,000 benefit.
I'm really glad to see something being done with the building.
One of the partners on the project is Frank Peterson. Commissioner Willie German recognizes the name.
Frank Peterson, if we're talking about the same Frank Peterson, former city manager, was instrumental in redeveloping that area. Good luck on your project, and I'm looking forward to that.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Organizers of Art Prize 2025 are celebrating it as a major success, solidifying Grand Rapids as a global destination for public art. WGVU's Dee Morrison looks at this year's attendance and community impact.
Grand Rapids Art Prize is an open international art competition. For 2 weeks in September, artists exhibit their work in public and private spaces. A jury of art experts and public voters decide winners for cash prizes. In 2025, more than 1,100 artists from 39 states and 18 countries showcase their work across 155 venues. Director of Communications Mark Oscarby says there was a surge in digital engagement with 1 million website visits.
People visiting the website, mapping out where they want to go and what they want to see, engaging with our Facebook and Instagram and all the other fun ones to really be able to see the art.
The event drew more than 900,000 visitors and distributed $500,000 in grants and awards directly to artists. Oscarby says Art Prize balances high-level international participation with economic impact and local education.
We're able to facilitate field trips for students. We brought in over 3,000 students to experience Art Prize and all of the exhibits and fun happenings that were going on during Art Prize 2025.
Art Prize 2026 is scheduled for September 17th through October 3rd. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Michigan's Secretary of State responded to the president's calls for Republicans to, quote, nationalize voting during a speech in Detroit on Thursday. Colin Jackson has more.
The U.S. Constitution says states run elections, not the federal government. But President Donald Trump has been calling for more federal oversight after repeating lies the 2020 election was rigged in Detroit and other cities, lies that several dozen bipartisan audits have disproven. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says that shows the need for state officials to, quote, stand up
and say, no. One, it's against the law, so protect the Constitution. But two, it's unnecessary. We have all that we need here in Michigan to protect the rights and freedoms of our citizens. And frankly, we're going to be better at it than anyone else who would try to come in and supplant that power.
A group of Michigan Republican lawmakers previously asked the U.S. Justice Department to monitor the 2026 elections after raising doubts about Benson's ability to run them. I'm Colin Jackson in Detroit.
The Michigan Supreme Court ruled the decision that tossed indictments in the Flint water cases does not apply retroactively to other defendants who were also charged with crimes by a one-judge grand jury. Rick Pluta has more.
The Supreme Court ruled in 2022 that charges against members of Governor Rick Snyder's administration over the Flint water crisis were unconstitutional. The court said the defendants were denied a fair chance to challenge the evidence used by the one-judge grand jury to issue indictments, and the misdemeanor charges were dismissed before the cases went to trial. Todd Douglas Robinson wanted his 2012 murder conviction reversed because he was also charged by a judge without a preliminary examination. But the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that there was no challenge to the fairness of his trial, and it was too late to turn back the clock on that. I'm Rick Pluta.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Director Luc Besson returns with a new adaptation of Dracula, starring Caleb Landry Jones. The Strangers, Chapter 3, brings more horror to screens this week. And Solo Mio, starring Kevin Jones, is a romantic comedy. Those films plus indie releases are in theaters, and WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C talk about them all.
My order has been studying this for 400 years.
You're the first to have captured a specimen alive.
These creatures are the result of a divine curse.
What exactly did I capture?
A vampire.
For 400 years now, we've been looking for the source.
Here you are.
He comes to find his princess.
Count Dracula.
Director Luc Besson returns to the big screen with an adaptation of Dracula. His first film was Subway in 1985, The Big Blue in 1988. Those were well-reviewed films, but then he made his name internationally with La Femme Nikita in 1990, followed by Leon the Professional in 94 and his big film in the 90s, in terms of the science fiction epic, The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis, which was a star maker for Mila Jovovich. And here we've got Caleb Landry Jones as Dracula. And from looking at the preview, Zach, it looks like it's not a straight adaptation of the Bram Stoker novel.
No, not at all. And it also has Christoph Waltz in it, who's playing sort of the priest, antagonist or protagonist. Dracula essentially, asks God at one point in a war to save his wife, and she dies. And so he spends essentially the next 400 years trying to find the reincarnation of his wife. And so it's sort of like you'll get that piece of it, but then you will sort of jump, I think, that 400 years to sort of the present with these priests sort of like having to deal with, infected, if you will, women who are sort of now vampires and sort of that going around and trying to track down Dracula. And so it just seems like a fun, wild time. It's 66% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, and it feels like audiences are loving this one compared to critics. But it's who doesn't like a Dracula movie, I guess, it's Dracula, and I'm seated.
Also, the horror continues with another film opening this week, which is The Strangers Chapter 3.
Yeah, this one's kind of funny interesting, I guess I should say, of like how, sort of like the release platform of this thing, where it was like we had the sequel prequel of Strangers Chapter 1 like 3 or 4 years ago now. And the goal was that they were going to release these things within like 8 months of each other. And so you would have Chapter 1, Chapter 2, and Chapter 3 all within maybe like a 2-year period. And due to, I think, some of the strikes and some of some of the things going on over at Lionsgate, like they've sort of had to span this out a little bit more. And so, yeah, we're into Chapter 3 now of The Strangers, which is still sort of that prequel to the original Strangers, and sort of the same cast. Maya's back, and she finds herself just where she left off from Chapter 2, and is now sort of taking on a little bit of the role of one of the strangers. And so, it's one of those things of like, you can go in and have a good time watching this if you just set your expectations right.
Also, we have a romantic comedy. These are not as prolific as they have been in the past. Solo Mio with Kevin James.
Yeah, this one's coming from Angel Studios, and it's interesting. It's not faith based. And they're kind of like expanding a lot of their like repertoire and library of film. And so, he essentially gets left on the altar in Rome. That's where they were going to get married. And they had already had their honeymoon booked and wasn't really sure what to do. And he's kind of like convinced, well, why don't you just kind of take a leap of, faith and kind of go on your honeymoon, enjoy your honeymoon.
Without your wife.
And unmarried and, just kind of find yourself. And so, it's kind of like he kind of goes with, there's some buddies that he has as well and just kind of goes on a route of self-discovery. So it's currently 85% fresh. People are, it's just a nice romance comedy, to lead you, the week before Valentine's Day.
Also, we've got some limited releases that are in the theaters, including The Moment and a rising pop star story. So what do you know about The Moment?
I am very excited for this movie, Scott. It opens at a few locations this week, and then we'll open up more locations next week. This is coming from A24. This is Charlie XCX, which I don't know if you're familiar. She's a very... She went on tour. She had Brat Summer. She was Brat Summer. Sort of swept the nation. And so the director here, Aiden Zamari, he is pretty good friends with Charlie. And she was getting a little bit of pressure to sort of like create a documentary of her tour. And she ended up sending him a text and kind of like ranted a little bit about like the pressure as a star and as like, you know, someone who is famous to like, you know, kind of like let people in a little bit more to their lives and within a documentary and all that stuff. And through that text thread, they both just got to writing essentially a mockumentary about the tour. And so they filmed this while she was on tour, but also like it's designed to be like she's about to go on tour, but they literally brought in an entire cast. And so it's this mockumentary.
So it's partially fictionalized, partially the real performances and such.
Sort of, yeah. Like there will be shots from the actual tour, but then like most of the movie is this sort of like mockumentary made. I'm just like super pumped to go watch this one. It's just really exciting. And I think like the whole idea of like it being this mockumentary that's like kind of, you know, digesting what they were talking about of like, you know, what is it like to have a documentary made for, you know, your tour and like seeing the insides of your life on a documentary as a celebrity and sort of like, yeah, making fun of that, but also just like doing it, you know?
So rather than like what Beyonce did and Britney Spears and also and Taylor Swift, this is rather than just being the concert footage and the tour, this is actually a film.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see it.
Also, we've got Arco, which is a sci-fi adventure, and from the poster, it looks like it's an animated film. With Natalie Portman and Will Ferrell providing some of the voices, is that correct?
That is correct. This is a nominee for Best Animated Film this year, coming from Neon. The dubbed version is playing in theaters right now, which stars Natalie Portman and Will Ferrell doing some of the dub. Andy Samberg, I think, is also in it. The story is sort of this 10-year-old boy named Arco, who is from the future and finds themselves sort of in the past and meets befriends this girl who his little chip that, you know, sort of lets him go back and forth breaks. And so it's sort of their journey to sort of like getting him back to the place that he
came from.
So
is this
a
re-release? Was this out last year?
No, it might have been out.
I mean, it had to have screened last year to be an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, we didn't get it in this market.
And I'm taking it's a foreign film with and this is like an American version with American voices.
Yeah, you can watch it in, you know, we don't have the subtitled version of the original language, but we just have the dubbed version for the week. They're being hunted down by some conspiracy theorists who essentially believe that Arco is from the future and trying to prove that he's from the future while they're trying to get him back to the future. But it's cool. It's fun to have sort of more Oscar nominated films in the mix before we get to the Oscars.
Yeah. And before we go, what films are still in the theaters that are Oscar nominations?
I think it's you got Marty Supreme and then you've got Arco. And I think that's it for now. Sinners, One Battle, Hamnet are mostly gone this week. So be sure to check out the ones that you want to see when you can.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, February 6, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.